KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have partly cloudy skies. It's 31 degrees. We look forward to be partly sunny today with a high of 54. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by the TV Store, your local retailer for Sony, Dish Network, and TV and cell phone repair, located at 903 East 7th Street in Atlantic. In the news, after the massive Missouri River flooding of 2011, plans were made to install a better system for monitoring heavy rain and runoff from snowpack to more accurately predict pending floods. Jody Farhat, Omaha Division Chief for the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, says a better real-time reporting system was designed but still hasn't been built.
There was authorization in 2014 to install a monitoring system for those aspects, the soil moisture and the snowpack. That has not been funded at this time, but we're hoping to get started on the process this year.
Farhat says other improvements have been made to the reporting system in the past 6 years.
We are working much more closely with the states, and we also have set up a network of observers to give us snowpack measurements during the winter that Kevin mentioned. So, you know, we are getting better information this year that's being fed into the NOAA products. So I do think we have a better handle on it than we did in 2011.
She says despite above normal snowpack this winter, it doesn't compare to that of 2011.
Even though we have an area of high plain snowpack right now in North Dakota and in North Central South Dakota, smaller in aerial extent than it was in 2011 at the peak, and it peaked in late February 2011. And also the mountain snowpack is tracking pretty close to normal.
The Corps is predicting above normal runoff into the Missouri River reservoir system for February through April. Farhat says they have adequate flood storage available behind the six mainstream dams. Police in Creston report seven people were arrested on separate charges during the period spanning Friday through Sunday. Last night, 35-year-old Nicholas Geisken and 39-year-old Stephanie Geisken, both of Creston, were arrested for interference with official acts and violation of a protective order. Stephanie Geisken was being held at the Ringgold County Jail while awaiting a bond hearing. Nicholas Geisken was being held at the Union County Jail, also awaiting a bond hearing. Early Sunday morning, 26-year-old James Randolph of Columbus, Ohio, and 28-year-old Joshua Palmer of Creston were arrested in Creston. Both were charged with disorderly conduct, public intoxication, and interference with official acts. Both men were later released on $300 bond each. Friday night, 33-year-old Clay Pettit of Creston was arrested for domestic assault. He was later released on $300 bond. 27-year-old Kyle Hoadley and 26-year-old Kristen Oliphant, both of Creston, were arrested Friday night on trespass charges, and they both were cited and released on a promise to appear later in court. A traffic stop late Saturday night in Shenandoah resulted in the arrest of a woman wanted on a warrant out of Fremont County for OWI first offense. Shenandoah police stopped a vehicle driven by 30-year-old Natalie Crosby of Shenandoah at around 11 p.m. Saturday on the 100 block of U.S. Highway 59. A records check indicated there was a valid warrant for Crosby. She was taken into custody and booked at the Shenandoah Police Department before being turned over to deputies from the Fremont County Sheriff's Office. Officials of the Cass County Health System in Atlantic say that the next session of Healthy You is scheduled to take place at noon this Thursday, February 23rd, actually next week from this Thursday, and it will take place and focus on diagnostic imaging. Director of Diagnostic Imaging, Carrie Schmidt, will present during the session. Schmidt says she will briefly cover all the services they offer, including radiology, MRI, CT, ultrasound, and more. The presentation will then take a more in-depth look at DEXA and osteoporosis, as well as mammography and breast cancer. Healthy You is a free educational lunch series at the Cass County Health System held monthly in conference room number 2. The public is invited to and welcome to attend. Again, that's on Thursday, February 23rd. Reservations are required, though, as lunch is provided for all attendees. You can call 712-243-7479 to reserve your seat. Small groups of protesters gathered outside Planned Parenthood clinics in Council Bluffs as well as in Lincoln, Nebraska Saturday as part of a nationwide movement to urge Congress and President Trump to strip the agency of all federal funding. Website www.protestpp.com says it wants the funding reallocated to health centers that help disadvantaged women without providing abortions. In Iowa, rallies were also held at Planned Parenthood locations in Cedar Falls, Des Moines, Iowa City, and Sioux City. About two dozen people rallied outside inside the Council Bluffs Planned Parenthood clinic. No group of Planned Parenthood defenders made an appearance in the deeply conservative city. A small rally was met mostly with honks of approval and thumbs up from passing motorists. Elsewhere in Western Iowa news, a 10-year-old has died in a northwest Iowa farming accident. The Lyon County Sheriff's Office said just before 6 p.m. on Thursday, they received a 911 call of an accident nearly 3 miles south of Inwood on Highway 18. Emergency personnel from Inwood and deputies from the Lyon County Sheriff's Office were dispatched. The Canton Inwood ambulance from Canton, South Dakota, also responded to the scene. According to Lyon County Sheriff Stuart Vanderstope, a family member was moving around a hay bale with a skid loader, and somehow the bale moved and fell off the unit and rolled over 10-year-old Marcus Blum of Inwood. Vanderstope said that a Sanford AirMed helicopter from Sioux Falls, South Dakota, landed at the site of the accident, but he said that due to the extent of his injuries, Blum died at the scene. The University of Iowa is tightening the rules for incoming out-of-state students seeking in-state residency after beginning their studies. Officials say a record 317 part-time freshmen enrolled at the university for the fall of 2016. Many of those non-residents work taking enough credit hours to trigger the higher full-time tuition. Out-of-state students who want to become residents must live in Iowa for at least a 12-month period and prove they moved to Iowa primarily for reasons other than higher education. The non-resident students previously had to show that they worked an average of 20 hours a week for those 12 months. Under the tighter rules, students enrolling after May 1st will have to show that they're working an average of at least 30 hours a week. The powerful and controversial leader of the board that governs Iowa's public university said he will not seek a second six-year term. The Board of Regents President Bruce Rastetter said in a statement issued by a public relations firm that it was a tough call, but that he won't ask Governor Branstad to reappoint him. He thanked Branstad for giving him the opportunity to serve and says he's leaving satisfied with accomplishments, including efforts to freeze tuition for undergraduate students. Rastetter has been on the board since 2011 and its president since 2013. Had he been reappointed, Rastetter would have faced an uncertain confirmation in the Iowa Senate, where many Democrats had vowed to oppose him. Rastetter had angered many on the University of Iowa campus through the way in which he managed the search for a new president in 2015. Well, the Iowa legislature is poised to pass a bill this week that will dramatically eliminate items that teachers and government workers in Iowa may bargain for during union contract negotiations. House Speaker Linda Upmeyer of Clear Lake suggests, with Republicans holding a majority of seats in both the House and Senate now, this move should not be a surprise.
This is about doing the right thing for Iowans. This is something we've worked on for a number of years. We've had bills on this topic before.
Critics say state and local government workers will only be able to negotiate over base wages during future contract talks. Republican legislators who held forums in their district this weekend were quizzed by large crowds upset about the bill. More than 100 people gathered in an Oskaloosa coffee shop to confront three local legislators. Susie Card of Pella, a regional representative for the state teachers union, drew applause from the crowd when she questioned whether the GOP had campaigned on getting rid of collective bargaining.
That's a yes or no question, guys. Yes, like
pretty simple.
More than 400 attended a forum in Ankeny. Jody Butler, a former education advisor to Governor Branstad in the 1990s, asked the two Republican leaders there to have a meaningful conversation and make adjustments in the bill.
Take your time instead of shoving this through.
And Iowa's top elections official, who is pushing for a voter identification requirement that could make it harder for some to vote, has only been informed of 10 votes that were potentially improper out of 1.6 million cast statewide. A summary of general election irregularities obtained by the Associated Press shows that Iowa Secretary of State Paul Pate's office learned of a handful of cases of alleged double voting and votes cast by ineligible felons on Election Day. A further review by the AP shows most of the instances were mistakes rather than fraud and may not have been stopped by an identification requirement. They included a non-English speaking citizen who mistakenly voted when he registered and again on Election Day, and a felon whose voting rights had been restored in Wisconsin, but not in Iowa. The news was brought to you by the TV Store, your local retailer for Sony, Dish Network, and TV and cell phone repair, located at 903 East 7th Street in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.